we all recorded already. So three, two, one, here we go. Welcome back, everybody, to another great episode of We Speak Dispatch. We've been behind the scenes for a couple minutes, and we are wound up today. We got five people joining me today. We've got John. John, how you doing?
Excellent, excellent, excellent.
Great. We've got Glenna. Glenna, how you doing?
Not as excellent as John, apparently.
We've got Doug. Doug?
You said excellent three times.
Oh, wow. I'm excellent. Tennessee is awesome.
And Leslie. How's Leslie doing?
Excellent. Fantastic.
Good. It's a great Sunday. We're also joined by another returning guest, Mr. Don. Mr. Don, how are you
doing?
Hey, sir.
Excellent.
Excellent. Totally excellent.
And so in looking at this panel, the one thing that stuck out to me is the years of service that are on this panel. So before and behind the scenes, we kind of figured that up. Leslie, how many years of service does this panel have?
So between the six people who are sitting on this panel right now, we have worked in a communication center a total of 159 years.
Good God.
That's incredible. Divided,
yeah, crazy.
Wow. Oh, wow.
So there's the cue the cocoon reference.
I have no idea what you're talking about. So
yeah, it's of course not.
And I'm still not a subject matter expert.
Yeah. 159 years.
But of the six people, how many of us are currently, and this may surprise some of our people that watch us, and go ahead, whoever is, make some noise and raise your hand so that no matter where you're listening, YouTube or the podcast page, how many people are still working in a 911 center today?
Oh, we just have the one, Miss Glenna. Oh,
wow, that's
no, make some noise.
Somebody looks tired.
I'm gonna go like this because officially I'm still doing a few part-time hours for the transition leave my agency. So I didn't make a lot of noise like Glenna, but I'll make some noise for another month and a half.
Wow. Well, but I do think that, Joe, even though we may not be sitting behind a workstation anymore, every single person on this panel, besides Glenna, who's still doing that, is somehow connected to the comm center in some way. It just gets in our blood so much that as much as we talk about, oh my gosh, I can't wait until I leave, and oh my gosh, I'm never going to look back, we're still in it.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're on a podcast called We Speak Dispatch.
Come on. Yeah.
It's the Hotel California. You can check out, but you can never leave.
You can never leave.
Yeah, the Hotel California. That's what we should change it to.
We've all done that.
Yeah. So the one thing we are going to discuss today is talk about an exit strategy or talk about leaving your agency, maybe for another agency, maybe for retirement, maybe for a different career. And what can you do when you have an employee leaving at your agency that's leaving in good standing or in good terms? We're not talking about the people that are being terminated or escorted out. We're talking
about
people that are leaving in good terms. Hopefully that was all of us.
Those stories are better.
Yeah, I know they are.
We probably have our highest rated podcast if we did that. We're going to talk about a few things. So Doug, when you left your agency, what did they do for you?
Nothing. I left kind of suddenly. It was sort of a decision we had to make. And I'm not a big fan of having big parties and stuff like that anyway. So I, not my favorite thing, but I do want to switch back for a second and tell everybody that when I hired people, and I used to hire I probably hired like 250 dispatchers in my career. I always told them, get a 401k, get a 457, get a whatever. It goes so fast. I don't know about the rest of you on the panel here, but that 30 went so quickly. I'm just like, God, it didn't seem like 30 years to me. So it seems to me like it's something that you don't even think about. When I got hired, they told us, look, do you want more money every month? Or do you want to put money away for some retirement way down the line? And I'm like, oh, I want money every day.
Every month.
Yeah. And then it was like, I had to pay all that money back when I did finally retire so I could get up to the highest retirement out there. So,
well, now a lot of localities are opting in employees into their retirement, like 401k or 457 pay plan. So it's up to the employee to actually opt out.
Oh, wow. Geesh. I hope nobody does, because it does come up quickly, and that money would be awesome to have at the very end of your career. So
yeah, and it's a good point, Doug. And then, you know, we've got some of us have some adultish like children and trying to talk to them about the importance of retirement. And I know that I was like this as well, is wait a minute. Okay. So I'm getting a raise and I'm going to get 50 cents a dollar, whatever it is, more. That's money in my pocket right now. But you want me to take that money and put it someplace that I can't touch for 30 years. But yeah, to Doug's point, you will be amazed at how much it can grow over time. And just how thankful you are going to be once you have that, because how many, really think about it, how many professions are there where for civilians, especially, you have an opportunity to retire at 55? That's huge.
Yeah.
That's
it may not even take that long.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I hear that some agencies are now saying you cannot retire at 55. It's now moved up to like 60.
Well, yeah, 62 now at my agency, and for a lot of California agencies, 62. I know. I can't imagine being a dispatcher at 62.
No,
but you know, and we've all joked about it. Nobody wants a nobody number one wants to be a dispatcher at 62, or nobody wants a 62-year-old dispatcher. But just think about in our
they're there
159 years of experience. How much dispatching has changed over time? What dispatching is going to look like for those people who are going to be working that long, it's gonna be significantly different. And hopefully, and we've talked about this, I don't know how many times on this podcast, wellness, mental well-being, taking care of your employees, leadership, all of that stuff.
Amen.
That all is going to play a role so that when you're at that point where you're still working at your, you know, mid to late 50s or even early 60s, that it's a different experience.
Yeah. You know, let me just go back to Joe's question, Joe's initial question about how they celebrate. We used to celebrate having big potlucks. My captain loved to do like barbecues and these big oil drum looking things, odd. And it was like, it was great. However, this one lady retired who had been on like almost 40 years. And I looked at her personnel file when I first got to this office, and it was the old personnel file where you had to type it with a typewriter. Mm-hmm. Anybody even know what a typewriter even is anymore? But they messed up the date. Started in 1872. And I'm like, oh my God. So I called her in. I said, hey, your personnel jacket says you started 1872. That's right after the Civil War. Was that pretty cool dispatching? And she was like, what? And I'm like, you signed this form every single year of your career, and it was wrong the entire time. And I'm like, so when she did retire, we put it in a frame and gave it to her and was like, thanks for your, you know, 200 years of service.
It's the longest running dispatcher. Dang.
Good. When you left your agency, Don, what did they do for you?
You know, it's interesting. I feel like in my mind, what I had thought was going to happen when I left that agency was different, right? Because in my mind, I was going to retire from there, and I was, you know, going to I don't know. In my mind, it was different, right? So when I decided that I had to get out of there for my own well-being and safety and all sorts of other different things, you know, I gave my 2 weeks notice and I was out.
Oh my goodness.
So in conversations with people, it was interesting. I felt like I had been given parole and they were still stuck in the jail. Like, hey, good for you. You got out. It's just like, it really shouldn't be that way. You know, I mean, my people, you know, they sent me a really nice send off, you know, with the food and whatever. And the sheriff came in and said goodbye. My boss didn't say goodbye to me, but that's one of the reasons why I was leaving.
Wow.
You know, it was so different for me because I had to mentally work through that. And just falling, like, all of a sudden I was done with that two decades of my life, yeah. Right? And being like, what just happened? You know, was kind of what my thought process was. It wasn't really what I had envisioned. My vision was as I was, you know, riding a horse off into the sunset and retiring and you know, being like, okay, you know, this, I made such the differences that I, you know, accomplished and yeah, it wasn't really what I was preparing myself for in my mind, but then it just was like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, sure. And well, John, what about your agency? What did you experience when you
and I
retired?
So it's typical that a lot of people retired actually during COVID-19.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people were eligible to retire, but what that pandemic did is accelerate a lot of retirements. So we had to be very creative because we have shift briefing that's dedicated uninterrupted time for 30 minutes each shift. So typically a party, a reminisce, event will occur during then. And then, like, to Doug's point, usually a potluck of whatever the person wants and their cake and yada, yada, yada. And you let them leave, you know, between 2 and 4 hours early. I mean, what are they going to do? Come back? So for me, it was towards the, it was toward very, I mean, we're still in it, but last year, I didn't want the videos of people reminiscing, and that wasn't my style. And the folks that I worked with knew that. So I didn't know what they were planning, but I knew they were planning something. And I will say I've been to many a retirement work-related celebrations, and mine was the most active, musical, hilarious, and I was laughing with everybody else. Everything hit all the points that I could unexpect, but it was so good. And it was, and thank God they didn't do that. But there was one retirement, I gotta say, a colleague of mine who retired 5, maybe 10 years ago now, she had a retirement at work, and then she rented out a dance hall or an event hall, hired a DJ, catered it for her own retirement, and just invited anyone who wanted to come in. And that, it probably had, I'd say, 100 people.
Wow.
It was unbelievable. Mine was at work, but still. So what they did, it's done on a shift, typically. And I mean, it was just amazing. I mean, we were just dying laughing. Everybody was just dying. It was totally awesome.
And that's a shout out to you, John, as well, for what you accomplished with your coworkers. If they're willing to do something like that for you and make it something that relates to you. And I know from working with you that you do things with songs and music and things along that nature. And so to hear that back, that's a testimony to what they thought of your teaching style and your supervisory style while you were there. Kudos to you for getting a send-off like that. I think that's absolutely incredible.
Yeah. And to Leslie, she'll get a kick out of this. We did the wobble. During retirement, at the retirement party, I did the wobble. I was almost going to get up on a table, but I figured I'm still a county employee, and luck would have it on my side. There'd be a risk management case on the end of my career.
For those listening on the podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts or something, go to our YouTube page right now. Listen to just that little clip and watch what Leslie does when John says we're doing the wobble. Glenn, at your agency, you're the one working at 911. What keeps you at your agency right now?
What keeps me there?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not eligible for retirement yet. but no, seriously, I did have the opportunity. Too. Yeah, right. So we go at 55. However, at 50, you're fully vested. So you can leave at 50. Oh. And then you have the choice of taking a lower retirement, or you can just wait till 55. So we were going that route. However, a very dear friend of mine decided that she didn't want to work anymore. And she was coming up on retirement. And so we made the decision that I was going to stay, and I was going to try and step into her position. Oh. So I mean, that's why we're here. Plus, with me being the peer support coordinator, I didn't do a very good job of succession planning. And so it caught me a little bit off guard when we had made the decision for me to retire. And so I felt I was leaving unfinished business. And so I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to not only step into a new role, which I didn't think I would love, but I absolutely do, but also to kind of shore up those holes in the succession planning for the peer support program.
Nice. So you're close to retiring then?
Yes, I'm within 3 years of retiring. Wow. There is some big changes coming up within our department that would be yet another opportunity for me, but they're going to want a huge commitment. And I, to be honest with you, I think with all of you guys sitting here, I made the decision yesterday not to pursue it, but with all of you guys sitting here and just seeing how happy you are and how you've moved on, I decided I'm not going to pursue that opportunity. So the 3 years, I won't say it's going to be 3 years, but within the 3 years, I probably most likely will be retiring.
So should I tag your agency in this broadcast?
I'm anybody that knows me knows I can't keep a secret, and I'm very transparent. I have talked with our deputy chief, with our captain, Because I really wanted to find out what kind of commitment they were looking at and all that. They know where my heart is and they know what I want to do. But for those of you who don't know, we've already sold our house in California. We've moved all of our stuff up to Utah. My husband is in the process of getting his job in Utah. So I really think it's time that, you know, I concentrate on our personal business. 911 Wellness Project is doing very well. We're customizing training. We have such a full schedule that I don't even know if I will miss being in a center. Yeah. And maybe my hair will stop falling out if I leave the center.
A little bit about for myself, for the listeners that are tuning in, is that I also recently switched jobs. I didn't retire. I wish I could have, but I wasn't quite to the age or years of experience.
You're like, what, 30?
We just had that episode. I'm going to be 48 in a couple months. So yes, but anyways, I left the 911 world, and this may sound a little bit different or shocking, but I'm actually working with pig farmers throughout the state of Iowa and other states, and doing technology with them, and just learning that a lot of the stuff that we do in 911 really applies to other professions as well. And then some stuff that we do maybe doesn't apply. Working with animals or whatever, and pigs and livestock and whatnot, and being out on the farms is a little bit different than going to a 911 center, but it's just also been a fun learning curve. So I'm looking forward to continuing in that journey. But I also want to say that if anybody from my own agency is listening, I definitely miss all of the cops, firefighters, and dispatchers that work there. I left for my own reasons, but not because of any of them. They were a great agency to work for. But
didn't they get you a cake that was pretty funny?
I how am I gonna say this? The
dispatchers, I was gonna say it if you didn't, so just say it.
The dispatchers did step up and got me a huge, they know I'm a big smoking food barbecue person, which we've done past episodes on, and brought in barbecue, and they brought in a cake that said something about what our pigs aren't good enough, and they had actual pigs on the cake. I did not call anybody a pig or nothing, but obviously that is a term used to describe.
Oh, you're staying in the industry. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes. Going from one pig farm to the other.
Sounds like keeps getting pulled over all the time. It's just odd. It's
like... So the jokes were really endless, and I heard a lot of them, that's for sure. But I still continue to work part-time, very minimal hours, just because, like Glenna said, one of the things we struggle with at 911 centers is succession planning. So I'm going to kick it back over to Doug, and let's give the listeners something to take with them in planning for succession planning. What's one thing you would tell them to do?
I want to hear about Leslie's retirement.
Oh yeah.
Did I skip Leslie?
You skipped Leslie.
And all right. She had her hand raised. I think that we could probably get
two different perspectives on her retirement.
She even wobbled, and I forgot Leslie. Leslie, my apologies. The pigs got me sidetracked.
Okay.
Tell us about your retirement.
It's okay. And I know we're up against time, and I was going to suggest we do a whole nother podcast just on succession planning. So I was able to retire after 31 years at the PSAP, and my agency is amazing. And we do something very special for sworn and civilian retirees if they want it. And so there was a big retirement celebration and walk of honor type thing. And there were opportunities for me to get up and say a few words to the people who were staying behind. And it just really, even though, and we've all said, you know, that, it's not, so not me and whatever. I made my husband do it when he retired. And it was, you know, this job gave me more than I ever could have imagined. You know, on my first day walking into the communication center, if you would have told me that these are the things that I would have done as a result of being in dispatch, I would have said you're crazy. But it's an opportunity to really leave, and I'm going to use some of Doug's words, leave a legacy. Hey, this is an important job, people. And those who are staying behind, y'all have some big shoes to fill, because the profession is ever changing. And respect it. This isn't just fun and games. This isn't just, you know, oh, okay, well, it's just a job. For some people, it really does become part of your life. And yeah. So I wanted to pay honor to not just the people that I was leaving behind, but to the profession itself, because, you know, 31 years, it's a long ass time.
Yes. Congratulations to everybody. I think I got the least years of experience on this panel at point two. So congratulations to all you guys. But real quick, and I know we're up against time, and we'll do a future episode on succession planning. But to tune into that episode, Doug, play this one first, hopefully. Give them one tidbit of succession planning.
I will play this one very quickly. So
succession planning. What would you tell them?
I would tell everybody, don't think it's going to take forever to get to retirement age and invest in your future, because it's the best investment you'll ever make. I mean, it's important to do that stuff and be ready. Don't wait to the last minute and then decide to do something. So that's my advice.
Don, what do you got for people with succession planning and replacing yourself?
Yeah, I would say you start from the day you get promoted, right? You don't know when your time is going to be up. You could get hit by a bus tomorrow, right? So, you know, I think mentoring and that succession planning happens right away, right? You're showing them the ropes and, you know, so that in the event something happens, you decide, hey, I'm done. A lot of times when you get to a certain age in public safety, you could go at any day, right? You might not wait years, 3 years in some cases. It might be like, you know what, I'm too bad. You hear it all the time. I'm two bad days away. Yeah. So I think that succession planning, it happens right away.
Yeah. John, what do you got?
Trying to think of something that hasn't been said already. I would say it goes back to knowing the staff and their desires, and when an opportunity arises, then if you can, I say this lightly, pick on them to groom them, I probably is a better term, groom them, because you know that's what they want versus, well, I think you'd be a really good supervisor.
Yeah.
I mean, they've already expressed an interest, pick up on that and then carry it forward.
Okay. And Leslie, what do you have for somebody leaving?
I would say if you're the person who's leaving, start and hopefully you've done this for your entire career, don't work in a silo. Share the knowledge that you have, because the information that you're going to be walking out that building with sometimes is stuff that nobody else knows. Yeah. So make sure that you have groomed someone, using John's term, to do some of those things that you've been doing for so long, and then just share that knowledge, because you may not think you have a lot hanging on up here, but you really do.
Yeah. Glenna?
Can I just say something real quick in relation to Leslie saying that? And I don't think it's a secret any longer. I think we could let the cat out of the bag. Leslie and I worked for the same agency. So when she retired, by the way, I got to do her end of watch broadcast, and it was the most heartfelt and greatest moment for me to be able to say congratulations and goodbye. And so that was very important. And I really appreciated that she gave us the opportunity to celebrate her. But one of Leslie's strengths, and I don't even think she realized it, was always succession planning. Leslie and I have kind of gone through our careers together. She was on my oral interview panel.
Oh God.
Which is kind of funny since we both have a lazy eye, so she wouldn't look me in the eye. and then the day she came back from maternity leave was my first day, and I was her trainee. And so that's how we started my career and our friendship. And it's gone on ever since then. And so she would, maybe even without knowing it, succession plan. And I didn't even have a desire or even a thought to really become a supervisor until she started talking about retiring. She gave me the skills to be able to move seamlessly into that position without much to do, because she always expected me to be a leader in the center, and she helped groom me, or she helped shape that. So, and next week at Calnina, that is what my class is on. It's on leadership beyond the boss. Like, you start your very first day of work, you can be a leader from that moment on. Yeah. And because that's what Leslie taught.
Yeah.
So Leslie, talk about leaving a legacy. You're pretty dang good at that succession planning.
Is your class going to feature Leslie like standing there, and you're just going to be like, and then? That'd be a great
class. For me, I would end with saying documentation. I know it's a cliche, it's everything, but if nobody has the instructions on how to do something, then nobody will be able to get it done. Especially a lot of the times dispatch organizations are typically not all, but some are flat in structure. So like one supervisor supervises the rest of the department, or whatever it may be, or there maybe isn't a supervisor. Maybe the first line of supervision is a law enforcement person that maybe doesn't sit inside the dispatch center. So helping them out with documentation would definitely be a huge plus.
Yeah.
So I'd say document. Normally I conclude these podcasts, but I'm going to kick it over to Doug and to wrap it up. Tell them where they can see us, what they can do, how
you can see us everywhere on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We're on a bunch of different podcast channels. The last I heard it was over 20,000 podcast plays, 36 countries are out there. If you're not listening to this broadcast, you're crazy. And if you are listening to this broadcast, you are awesome. And tell all of your friends about this podcast, because I'll tell you what, it's here for you. It's here to make your day a little bit better. Go out and make it a great day, everybody.
And if you want to be like Don and in that box, email us at wespeakdispatch@gmail.com. Thanks, everybody, and have a great day.
Bye, guys.
Hey, this is Jill, and you've been listening to another great episode of We Speak Dispatch, proudly sponsored by our friends at Zybex.